We're going to get started. So let's, we're going to stand and sing the first carol tonight, Angels from the Realms of Glory. Well, let's welcome each other. Welcome, welcome. All right, you can be seated. We're going to sing Angels We Have Heard on High. Before we sing the last one, maybe somebody has a good word about Christmas. Or maybe not. Has something happened that's just been really fantastic? Yes, that's Biggie. Yes, a perfect job. Carl's first Christmas was after he got adopted and he was 8 years old. And then his best Christmas was when he was 16 years old. He found Jesus as his Savior. It's hard to imagine somebody going through life not having Christmas till they're 8 years old, but that's how fortunate we are. Well, God has been really good to us here. He's given us ministry opportunities where we're able to do things for people. There's another ball up there now. There's $35,000. That represents $35,000. So, God's good to us. We're going to sing Joy to the World, the Lord has come. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Miss Vivian. Anybody else got a good piece of news of praise? If Don was here, he'd be praising. He got four deer today. Yeah, that's why he's not here. He's cleaning deer. Right. Right. Did you get to see it? How many? 10 months. That's a huge praise. Some of you weren't here the second service. Abby got unsaved and came forward, and we're going to baptize her Sunday. And that's a big praise. She doesn't like to be up in the water either. And that stiff armor. Y'all do need to pray about that, because I do not want to traumatize her. So if she doesn't go up under, I'm just going to splash her. You know, I tried that already. She knows. Be praying for Carmen. She's had a really tough time with drugs. Hopefully this is the real thing. We'll see. Anthony's got a friend that has lost several loved ones here lately, so he needs some prayer to encourage him. Kira has moved to Indiana, Clarksville, Indiana, and she's having a pretty good struggle right now. So pray for Kira. Ron's sister and brother-in-law have COVID positive. Mom lives with them. Yeah. So, that's where Richard and Ginger at home their son Chad tested positive, and they were around Chad's Sunday. So we need to pray for Chad because he's got some lung issues, some health issues. And then Richard sure doesn't need to get COVID, so be praying for them. Mikey has had surgery today. Little Mikey Smith, some laser surgery on his to get the scar tissue taken off. He's going to have multiple surgeries. I'm not sure he's going to stay overnight or not, but it's a probably pretty rough surgery. Also, Don Mann is at home recovering from his jaw surgery, and they said they got all the cancer. They're pretty sure of that. But he's going through they rebuilt his jawbone and part of his tongue and part of the inside of his mouth, so he's struggling. Yeah, they took his feeding tube out, and he was able to eat a meal yesterday, I think, but the meal was kind of soft and liquidy, but still better than a feeding tube. Gina Gardner for healing. The Rigby family, who was it?
Heather Rigby.
And her mom passed away?
She passed away.
Okay. Heather Rigby, 45 years old, passed away from COVID this morning. Had other health issues, but that's still COVID related. Robert and his family are struggling financially and Christmas time and all that, so be praying for them. Stacy's got a family member that lost a baby in May and then also lost her mom here recently with COVID, so she's pretty distraught. Yeah. Paula Murray's mother and dad both have tested positive, and they're up in their 80s, so let's pray for them. Okay, let's pray. Father, we come and rejoice in the Lord tonight. So grateful, Lord, that you died for our sins and given us a choice to accept you or to reject you. And I thank you, God, for my brothers and sisters that have accepted you as their Savior. Lord, we pray for those who have rejected you, and we ask, Lord, that you would put somebody in their path that would be bold enough to share the Lord Jesus with them. Father, that many would come to know the Lord. I pray you use this Christmas time, Father, to spread the gospel of Jesus, that we as believers would share with others just what you've done for us and how gracious you've been to us and how you've blessed us in so many ways. We just praise you, Lord. Thank you for the privilege of just praying to you and speaking to our hearts. And Father, even if we're not speaking the prayer concerns, you hear the private prayers that are being prayed. And thank you again for listening to us and answering our prayers. I especially thank you, God, for this church and the way you've blessed us financially. And Father, we're building for the future, and we pray, Lord, that your hand would be all over the building, and Lord, that we would stay within your will as we build it. And Lord, that as you open doors, we go through those doors, and if you close the doors, Father, we would not try to go through them. I pray, Lord, for our teachers, and even though we're not teaching right now, Father, we should still be studying, and I pray, Lord, that you would allow us your wisdom, give us time to spend with you, and Father, how precious our quiet time is, how, Lord, that we're able to feel the presence of God many times in our quiet time. So I praise you and thank you, God, for that time with you. We come to you with prayer concerns, Father, and we do pray for Carmen. Father, as she's addicted to this dope, Lord, we pray that you would help her withdraw completely away from it, and Father, that she would stay away from it, and Lord, that she would find your purpose in her life. Pray for Anthony's friend who's lost loved ones, and ask, Lord, that you would encourage that whole family. We ask, Lord, that you'd be with Kira, especially during this time of hardship that she's going through with her legal problems and new job and her moving. And Lord, I just lift her up to you and pray for Carol, that you encourage her and let her know, Father, that you see all things, you know all things, and Lord, you have an answer. We pray, Father, for Ron's sister and brother-in-law, that you would heal them, and Father, that you would protect his mother. And Father, thank you, Lord, that he has a sister and brother-in-law that loves mom enough to let her live with him. I pray, Father, for Richard and Ginger and Chad and their families. They're quarantined, and Lord, that you would watch over Chad. And Lord, I pray for healing on his part. We lift up Mikey to you, Father. And he's facing several surgeries. We pray, Lord, that all these surgeries would be successful. Lord, he would not get infected, and Lord, that they would take care of all this scar tissue. We pray for Don Mann and ask, Lord, that you would continue to heal him. And Father, each day that he gets stronger, I pray, Lord, that they have gotten all the cancer. And I pray for Sandy, Father, that you'd give her peace and encouragement as well. We pray for Gina Gardner, and Lord, that we pray for healing for her and whatever she's going through. Father, I lift her up to you. Father, I pray for the Helen Rigby family, that in their time of need and losing their loved one, I pray for this young lady. I don't know about her salvation, but I sure pray, Lord, that she was saved. Pray for Robert and his family and the financial needs that they have. We pray for Stacy's family members, Lord, especially this one that's lost the baby and her mom. And Lord, that she'd feel the very arms of Jesus wrapped around her. We pray for Paula Murray, her mom and dad, and Father, that they would not get a serious case of the COVID. And we just take care of their needs. Father, we pray for others that are struggling with health issues, and there's a lot of unspoken prayer concerns and a lot of unspoken praises, and I pray, Lord, that you'd hear each one. Lord, we look forward to Sunday, and Father, that you would bless the messages that are going out in each church. And I pray, Lord, that the messages would be focused on Jesus Christ and the gospel, and Father, during this holiday season, Father, that we would share the Lord Jesus as much as we could. I do pray, Father, for our Lottie Moon offering, that we continue to give until it's time to send the check in. And Father, I pray for that check, that it would go. And Father, that because we gave, we would see souls won for Jesus Christ. We do pray for our missionaries all around the world. Father, whatever they're going through, we lift them up to you and ask, especially during this Christmas time, Lord, that they just feel the very presence of God in their lives. Father, tonight as we open up your word, I pray for your wisdom. I pray, Lord, that you teach us, each one of us, something tonight. And Father, we love you and praise you. You're our God, our Lord, our Savior. We claim the blood of Jesus. We pray the blood of Jesus on our families, on our church. Father, we pray these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Tonight we're going to look at Luke chapter 2, verses 36 through 38. We're going to look at the prophetess Anna. Sunday I will be preaching on Simeon, which is verses 25 through 35. Luke chapter 2. So let's look at these three verses of Anna. The Bible starts in verse 36, Luke chapter 2, verse 36. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. I wanted to share just some thoughts about Anna. I wrote down several and they're kind of scattered. I just wrote them down as I thought about them, but we don't know too much about her, but we do know some things in verses, these three verses. But what starts out, she is the daughter of Phanuel. And remember, back in the old days, names meant something. They were very important back then. And Phanuel in the Greek language means face of God. But if you run back to Genesis, remember when Jacob wrestled with the angel and he wrestled in a place called Peniel, which is the Hebrew of Phanuel. And he wrestled as he saw the face of God. And the Bible says he struggled with God. So as you put the two thoughts together, you know, God puts things in the Bible that makes us have to go back and forth, and there's always a point behind these names. So we're looking at Anna, and because of her name, you can come up with the knowledge that she has struggled with God in prayer. She's a fantastic prayer warrior, and as she struggles with God, she literally meets him face to face. In fact, the last verse we read, she saw the Lord Jesus Christ face to face, which must have really set her on fire. But she knew certain things about the Lord because she'd been praying and she'd read prophecy, and she knew that she was waiting along with Simeon for the Messiah, for salvation to appear. So Jacob says, I've seen God face to face, and Anna could say the same thing, I have seen God face to face. So why do I mention all this? Look at verse 37. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Her prayer life consisted of constant fasting and prayer. Now, this lady was 84 years old, but because of what we know in these three verses, you can tell that she's a servant of God. She serves God in the temple, and you can make the case that as she serves God in the temple, that all these years she's been in the temple, she has struggled with things, prayer concerns. She, to me, is a fantastic study because of her prayer life. And I don't know about you guys, how much you pray, and I know some of you are tremendous prayer warriors, but as she prayed these many years that she was a widow, she'd only been married for a short time, and then she went to work in the temple. God had called her to work in the temple. She became a supporter of Simeon, a supporter of the people. And as the people came through the temple areas, I'm sure that she prayed for them. But 2,000 years ago, you know, the Romans were in control and the Jews were in control, and there's a lot of hostilities towards each other, and there's some bickering and fighting and some actual killing of each other. You know, Jesus died on the cross 33 years later. So it was a time when you could have got very discouraged. But here's the deal about Anna. From what we know of these three verses, she never lost hope. She continued looking for the salvation, for Jesus to come. And glory, hallelujah, the Lord shows up. Look at the end part of 37. She served God with fastings and prayers day and night. She never ceased praying to God. She never ceased worshiping God. She was totally devoted to God. So here's the way I do my Bible study. I have to pause now. I have to do a self-check here. I look inwardly. I ask myself, how is my prayer life? How's my devotion to the Lord? You remember Phil Glisson? Every single invitation he'd always ask us, how's your devotion to the Lord? Do you need to renew your devotion to the Lord during the invitation? And that's not a bad thing to do every so often. Look at your devotion to the Lord, because I think some of us, all of us, can grow cold at times. We can go away from the Lord. We let circumstances hinder us, overwhelm us. And some of us are at that point now with all this stuff going on in this world, the politics, the COVID, the financial stuff that's taken place. And that's when God becomes real. So just a good time to do a self-check. And then look at verse 38. The Bible says, and coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who look for redemption in Jerusalem. Anna knew Jesus instantly. Again, pause for a second. I went all the way back to when I was in fourth grade, and I looked at my salvation experience. And when I invited Jesus into my heart, I knew right then that it was real. Now, later on, like everybody else, I kind of strayed away from the Lord quite a bit straight away. But at that moment, instantly, I knew that Jesus had come into my heart. A fourth grader, I don't know how old I was, 10 or 11 years old. How old was I? 8 or 9? 9. I feel like I was 19 in fourth grade, but whatever age I was, I knew. Jack Floyd led me to the Lord, and Jack was a godly man, and he loved the Lord, and he was always talking about Jesus. Every time I got in the car with him, he'd take me on Wednesday nights to Royal Ambassadors. And he just, for the 3 miles to our church, he talked Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He just lowered the boom on me in a nice way, and I really wanted to hear what he had to say. And finally, he asked me one night before we got to a church, he said, would you like to invite Jesus into your heart? I said, yes, I would. And I did, and instantly. The Bible says, instantly, Anna, she knew God, and then she gave thanks to the Lord. So what does that speak about to us? Don't you think we ought to be constantly thanking the Lord for something, especially our salvation? If you ever hang around people that are not saved, that makes you really appreciate your salvation, doesn't it? Because they're just sometimes rotten. Now, sometimes they're just great people, but they're not like us. We're separate. We're odd people. We're separated from the world, the Bible says. We're peculiar people. So instantly she recognized Jesus, and then she thanked the Lord because she'd been waiting for Jesus all these years. And finally he shows up. And then the Bible says, and spoke of Jesus to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. She was a prophetess. She knew that Jesus was salvation from her studies. And actually, you know that from Luke 2:30. So run back just a couple verses and look what Simeon says. My eyes have seen your salvation. How did they know that? The Holy Spirit spoke to their heart. They've been looking for it. They've been anticipating. They've been hoping. And now they know. So again, take a break. Think about this. How in the world do you know? Do you really know that Jesus exists in your heart? When Carl got saved, he felt the same thing. He knew it. The Holy Spirit shook him. And he went and told his parents, and his dad was pretty rough on Carl. And his comment was, we'll see. His dad didn't really believe that Carl got saved. But several years later, his dad said, I've seen the change, and it was real. You really got saved. How do you know? You got the Holy Spirit telling you, and then you read Scripture. It's like Simeon, I've seen salvation. He's arrived. You just know it. Can you explain it? Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. But I'm not asking you to explain it right now. I'm asking you to just know in your heart, and then give thanks for your salvation. Some of you just kind of flow right into salvation, right into being saved. You got godly parents that teach you and read your Bible stories and all that. And, you know, 4 years old, you know about half of the Bible, and you just kind of slide right into salvation. Others are never taught anything about the Lord. And when we get saved, it explodes in us. Both people get saved. You can slide right into it if God saves you and you change. Or you can be rotten to the core and God saves you and then you change. But you just know it. And then you spend a lifetime believing and building your faith in the Lord. And sometimes he lets us suffer. In fact, a lot of times he lets us suffer. Because what suffering do, according to James, those trials, they draw us closer to Jesus. And as they draw us closer to Jesus, it's often when we're going through something really crummy, really hard. You cannot really have true joy and true peace without Jesus. So that's a really good indication that you have been saved, because you get the peace that the Bible says passes all understanding. It's that kind of peace of, ooh, I don't understand it, but I got it. You can go through a death of a loved one and you boo-hoo a bit, but you also have a peace in your heart and a joy in your heart because you know where they're at. And you're going to be there soon, and some sooner than others, but we're all going to get there. Whatever she went through, she knew without a doubt, because she'd seen the face of God. She'd struggled with this for so many years, and now she sees her hope come true, and she can't help but tell others about it. And Anna is a fantastic woman. Her name means favor or grace, and she was a very godly prophetess. She was a woman of prayer, fasting, and worship, and she sought the Lord every day of her life. I want to look at a couple verses that you could learn from Anna, and they're in Psalms. So let's start out in Psalm 31. Psalm 31, verse 24. And I believe Anna would teach these verses that I've come up with if you're around her. She was such an encouraging lady, and she had prayed through the problems. So Psalm 31, verse 24, be of good courage, and God shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. What had she been doing for all those years that she'd been in the temple praying and fasting, hoping before she died, Simeon the same way, that they would see the salvation of Jesus? And lo and behold, they do. And I believe that she would tell all of us, be of good courage, and God will strengthen your heart no matter what you're going through. Keep your hope in the Lord. Look at Psalm 39, verse 7. 39, verse 7. Again, I believe Anna would teach us this verse. 39, verse 7. And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. Who did Anna hope in? All those years she was waiting, she hoped in God that he would send salvation, send the baby Jesus, send the Messiah. That probably was one of her life verses. Psalm 71, verse 5. 71, verse 5. Again, I think if we were in her presence, she would be teaching these verses to us. Psalm 71, verse 5. For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. Now, again, time out for a second. Where's your hope at? I mean, constantly. So, is your hope always in the Lord? Do you always focus on the Lord so that you can have your hope in Him? Don't get confused in life. Make sure that the only thing that solid hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you can have a full bank account, a full checking account, and you can hope and hope and hope, but you know, somebody can steal that in a New York second. And then where's your hope at? You've got no hope. But Jesus never fails you like that. Your hope is always in Him. Psalm 130, verse 7, this will be the last one. 130, verse 7. Psalm 130, verse 7. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is abundant redemption. As she prayed in verse 37, was it verse 37 that she prayed and talked to anybody that would listen? In Luke chapter 2, verse 37, I think it is. Verse 38. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of God to all those who look for redemption in Jerusalem. Can you hear verse or Psalm 130, verse 7, in that last verse. Both of those verses talks about redemption, salvation, put your hope in the Lord. So just a real quick tying of her prayer life. First of all, her prayer life was her priority. What a lady. Her prayer life was her priority. You ever known anybody that just was a prayer warrior and that seemed like that at all? You could go to them, they pray for you and with you, and you know, you just knew that they prayed. That you'd almost feel like they had a direct line to the Lord and you didn't, but we all do, but sometimes we don't feel like we do. She had a direct line to the Lord. Her prayer life was passionate. She looked forward to praying. And she didn't just pray about herself. She prayed about everything. She prayed about the problems that was going on in the world. She prayed about temple things, religious things. She just prayed with a passionate heart. And then her prayer life was persistent. She was constantly, constantly praying, fasting and praying, seeking God's guidance. So her prayer life was a priority, her prayer life was passionate, and her prayer life was persistent. Pretty good study. And it's an enjoyable study. Your mind, your imagination can just go all over the place with her. And you couldn't go wrong. I mean, the verses, the three verses that were given, they just give you good things about her. So you don't have to worry about all that other stuff. You know, you just focus in on who she is as a child of God, who she is as a servant of God. Well, anyways, let's pray and we'll dismiss. Father Almighty, we love you and praise you and thank you, Lord, for the privilege of prayer. I lift each one of us up, Father, that we would look at our prayer life and look at our devotion to you. And Father, if we need to renew our devotion, I pray even tonight, Lord, we'd go home and have a quiet time with you and renew our life with you. I thank you for examples in the Bible like Anna that shows us how to be persistent and passionate in our prayer life, and that it ought to be a priority in our life. And God, through our prayers, we bless others. Through our prayers, we bless you. Father, tonight, I know it's raining. I pray that you protect each one of us as we go home. I do pray for traveling mercies. I pray, Father, for safe healing, Lord, safe health. I pray, Lord, that as we get home the rest of the night, we would just have a peace and joy in our homes and hearts. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.